Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the Nets serving notice. There was no brotherly love lost in Philly, and it was no contest. What did that mean? We'll start there. Meanwhile, can a conference be too good for its own good? That's the question in the loaded AFC, and we've got the answers. Plus, the Aaron era extended. There's one thing he absolutely needs to bring a title back to Title Town, and we'll tell you what that is as we get up with you, starting right now on a fabulous Friday from the Seaport. Delighted you were there. Look at the squad we've got rolling today. Monica McNutt and Zach Lowe are here. Big Perk will join us shortly talking basketball. And over the other side of the room, plenty of football conversation today as well. Chris Canty, Kmart is here. D Wood is in his palatial New Jersey estate. We are ready to roll. And speaking of heading out that way on the New Jersey Turnpike, we go out to Philly last night. Monica, game of the night. The fans were ready for Ben Simmons.
Absolutely. Lots of booze. Everybody behaved for the most part, though, Green. I know we talked about arena privileges being revoked. I did not hear of any of that.
Me neither, but there was some good creativity shown there. And then the story of the night, that man, James Harden, first game against his former team, really struggled.
He's someone who relies a lot on the free throw line, and I thought the Nets did a good job of defending without fouling early in this ballgame and keeping him out of rhythm.
He would score only 11. Meanwhile, in rhythm was KD.
5 for 5 on his first field goals, first 5 field goals. Greeny, you could tell that KD wanted to maximize this opportunity.
And he was into it. Look at he and Embiid getting into it with each other.
A little defense there from KD, a little trash talk. I love this competitiveness between these two guys. It never gets ugly, but one thing you can count on is them competing.
Playoff atmosphere, and now we're going the other way. Brooklyn in transition. Kyrie knocking down a three at the first quarter buzzer. They would close the first on a 14-2 run, and here comes KD.
I mean, the momentum for the Nets, while KD and Kyrie certainly were locked in, as a team, we talked about that defense carrying over from the Hornets performance, and it did.
Brooklyn way ahead at the half, and they would just never look back. Philly never able to even make this a game.
Which, honestly, Greeny, was very disappointing. I expected a push in the third quarter from Philly, but they just came out flat, and the Nets kept rolling. Multiple players involved.
That was Seth Curry there. Don't sleep on him. He had 24 in this game. His return to Philadelphia now is Bruce Brown turning defense into offense, throwing it down with a one-hand hammer. This one was no contest. If it was a fight, they would have stopped it in the third quarter. The Nets, 129-100. The fans headed to the exit early. Let's talk.
Most definitely, I think all of us were. You know, we look at Ben as our brother, you know, so we knew that this was a hostile environment, and we knew that he didn't have an opportunity to play, so we wanted to come out there and had him focus on the court more so than just always focusing on him. So they focused on the court tonight, and it's hard for you to chant at Ben Simmons when you lose him by that much.
We got our ass kicked, and, you know, since I've been here, everything has been, you know, sweet, and you know, we've been winning games. And so tonight was good for us, and we get an opportunity to come down to reality, you know, watch film, and just continue to get better and making sure we hit the right strides.
Well, this was not pretty. James Harden, 11 points, shot under 18% from the floor. You see the numbers. Third worst field goal percentage by any player in the shot clock era in his first game against a former team. Also, his fourth worst game on the list from his first game back against the Thunder once upon a time. He's had a lot of games against former teams. All right, Zach Lowe, there's so much to unpack from this game, but it certainly feels like we need to start with Harden. What do we make of that performance?
No pop, no zip, no nothing. I mean, that was the game where the two teams came out and one team was on fire, snarling, getting loose balls, playing hard, and the other team was like, eh, we just kind of want to get this game. He played like he wanted. Look at, he plays like he wants to get fouled instead of just playing regular basketball. He played like he wanted the game to be over, and there is no one in the NBA, no one, under more pressure in the playoffs than James Harden is going to be after quitting on another team, picking this team, his track record in big games. This is not a great start.
I hear you. I feel the pressure, and I think we will apply the pressure, but does he feel it? He does, to your point. He didn't look like he showed up in that game with the intensity level that everyone else did last night. What does that mean?
Honestly, maybe it's just the moment was not too big for him, but just one that everyone wanted to get past, and he'll probably be fine tomorrow when the spotlight's off. But the play, we're all going to forget about this game if he shows up in Game 7, in Game 5, in Game 4 down 2-1. That's what's going to matter. We'll all put this game in the rearview. If he doesn't, if there's another 2-for-11 with 8 turnovers, then we are going to remember.
Zach, I'm so glad you mentioned the word if, because that's a big if on James Harden's career. It's one thing if he had a track record of showing up in big-time games, but he hasn't done that thus far. So I quite honestly was very disappointed in the competitiveness that he presented last night. And I thought in terms of the role players, the supporting cast, it was a great moment for them to feel what the playoffs will be like in a team that, quite honestly, they could face.
Well, you know, when this trade was initially made, Stephen A. Smith said to me on NBA Countdown that the Sixers gave up too much. And in that, obviously, we see Seth Curry and Drummond, Andre Drummond, playing a big role last night and playing a significant role. Did last night feel like maybe vindication is too strong a word? But Stephen A. was right. It's the additional pieces that went from one side to the other that could wind up making a big difference.
Seth Curry had 24 points on 10 of 14 from the field and 4 of 8 from 3. So absolutely, yes. And Drummond, his ability to match up before that ankle injury with Joel Embiid was pivotal in terms of the energy that they created. Now, watch Seth Curry here. I know folks will say KD and Hart and Kyrie are on the floor, so look at the spacing. They're not involved in this at all. This is pure shooter footwork, tremendous game that he had, right? So he can carry that over whether Kyrie is on the floor or not. And then here, Kyrie's off the floor. Maxey's going to jump because Patty Mills shoots about 41% from three, and KD is able to make this crazy pass. Again, more role players. That's Dragic. That's Bruce Brown able to finish with an easy two because of the momentum that the Nets had. And then defensively, I loved this effort from Nick Claxton after Drummond got hurt. He's going to completely bang with Joel Embiid in the post. And this is where I was confused by the Sixers because they didn't go to him here. But look at the mismatch. You're giving up, I'm bad at math, 215 and 280. There's a big weight difference there. But ultimately, he finishes this play with a defensive rebound. And so this is what I was talking about yesterday, Greeny, in terms of the role players and the depth that the Nets have compared to the Sixers.
Zach, it's fascinating. As she's talking, it's a great tape, and I'm thinking about it. The Nets managed to be that unique team that has the superstars and is deep. Usually you have to sacrifice depth in order to get the big three, which in theory they will have when Ben Simmons is on the floor. But they actually have that, and they have depth.
And imagine if they had Joe Harris, who's out for the season.
Right.
He's a huge part of their team because we saw how small they have to play around their stars. They have to play all these little guards. Yep. And last night, their speed beat Philly's size. Tobias Harris couldn't keep up. George Yang couldn't keep up. But, yeah, and by the way, I'm glad you mentioned Bruce Brown. Nobody played harder in that game than Bruce Brown. Bruce Brown's had an amazing last month for them. He's a big part of their team. He's a big part of their spirit. Every bit of dirty work you want done, Bruce Brown does it.
And because I have an extra moment here, I just feel the need to say, and I tweeted this last night, for all the conversation about great players in the NBA, and there may be as many right now as there have ever been, KD served notice, I thought last night, that when he's going, there is nobody like him, right?
That finish in transition around Embiid, you know how hard that is? And I just love this KD snarling at Embiid.
Let's go.
The fan saying, I didn't hear a lot of chants about Ben Simmons when he's down
real
by 29.
I love that. Here's the thing. I don't know what happens. Maybe we're all prisoners of the moment. But do we forget he was doing this when Kyrie was completely unavailable?
Mm-hmm.
I understand that he won't be in the MVP conversation or he can't be in the leading scorer conversation because of the amount of games that he has missed. But how quickly do we forget? KD makes this team so special.
And his little comments afterwards, Ben Simmons hasn't even played for them yet, and he's talking about we did it for him like he's Johnny in the Outsiders or something like that, which is, I mean, but whatever. If they found motivation in that, great. And however it is it played out, that was a one-sided, that was a fight that they could have stopped at the very beginning. And we will talk later this hour about what it means in the bigger picture, yes?
Absolutely, and we'll see. I mean, the Nets also serve notice, like, if we actually have our team, if this theoretical team becomes a real team, nobody's going to want to face us.
Agreed, and I think it's interesting you talk about KD and Ben Simmons. Perhaps KD's unique personality in his own way allows him to gel with Kyrie, allows Ben to be attracted to playing alongside of him as guys that have had a little bit of a prickly history in terms of teammates.
Okay, a little bit later, we will talk about what Brooklyn's outlook is here. We'll also get Big Perk in. We'll explain why he's not with us, and we have to analyze Ben Simmons' sweater. All that is still coming on the way. But to the NFL next, because it has been a week filled with enormous news in football. And, of course, it started on Tuesday. The first announcement, Aaron Rodgers announcing that he's staying with the Packers, ending all of that speculation that he would eventually be plying his trade elsewhere. On that same day, another star quarterback was on the move. Russell Wilson traded from Seattle to Denver after 10 seasons and one Super Bowl championship in the Pacific Northwest. Then the following day, Carson Wentz on the move for the second time in as many off-seasons. The Colts trading the former Eagle back to the NFC East, dealing him to Washington. And then yesterday, the defensive move of the offseason. The Chargers dealing for the Bears' Khalil Mack, sending a pair of draft picks to Chicago in the deal. So the AFC just continues to load up. According to Caesars, the Broncos are now tied with the reigning Super Bowl champion Rams for the fourth shortest odds to win the whole thing next year. You see the teams on your list. Denver at 12-1. That despite coming off of having a losing record last year. And so the football squad is ready to go here again today. We got D. Wood, we got Chris Canty and Kmart. I will start with you. The idea was floated. Is it possible the AFC is too loaded? Is it too top heavy for its own good? What do we think of the conference?
Rainy. Could we have too much good football, too many good quarterbacks? Like, why are we complaining about this? No, I think it's great. I'm all for having several great quarterbacks in one conference. The only downside is because there's so many good teams, good quarterbacks, there's going to be somebody, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, somebody's going to be on their couch when the playoffs start and when we get to deep in the playoffs. And that, to me, is the shame of it all. But, Greeny, I will not complain over these 18 weeks about seeing great quarterbacks go at it.
No, for sure. And, you know, what it really does become is the haves and the have-nots.
Oh, yeah.
And there are some big names, some sort of typical heavyweight contenders that right now are listed under the have-nots. And so, Chris Canty, I would mention both Pittsburgh and Indianapolis as teams that feel as though they need to make quarterback moves in order to be able to compete in this jam-packed conference. You're looking at Indy, and you have an idea for something they could do to put themselves in this mix?
Absolutely. A name that's been floated out there is Kirk Cousins as a potential trade target for the Indianapolis Colts. Kirk Cousins is in the final contract year of his deal out in Minnesota, and when you think about it, $45 million cap hit, $35 million in yearly cash, it seems like it would be a deal that Minnesota would be interested in because teams typically don't let quarterbacks go into the season as a lame duck. And if they're not going to extend them, which they don't seem like they're positioning themselves to do, then potentially looking at what you could get for Kirk Cousins from the Indianapolis Colts, a team that's desperate for a quarterback, makes all the sense in the world.
Well, that's a fascinating one to me. Let's live in that one, and we'll come back to Pittsburgh a little bit later. But D. Wood, if I put Kirk Cousins on the Colts right now, and we'll have to see what they have to give up, but I mean, it won't be Jonathan Taylor in order to get him. Do the Colts then go into the conversation with the Denvers and the Kansas Cities and all the best teams in the AFC?
They'll be interesting, Greeny. There's no question about it because they have such a really good roster on both sides of the football. Now, you know, you're talking about different animal when you're talking about Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and Joe Burrow, but that roster alone will elevate Kirk Cousins in that particular situation. And we've seen, you know, general manager Chris Ballard, he's just been swinging at the bat as far as the quarterbacks. We've seen Jacoby Brissett. We've seen, you know, Phillip Rivers. We've seen Carson Wentz. He's just going to keep swinging at it. So if that's another swing that he's willing to take in order to try to get this Colts team over the hump, I'm sure he will pull the trigger on it.
The ripple effect of Andrew Luck's early retirement has continued to be felt in Indy, and they still haven't figured it out. I want to remind everyone as we have this conversation, free agency has not yet begun. It feels like all these moves have been made. Free agency has yet to begin. So these things are coming, Kmart.
Oh,
is this one, is Indy a team that you have an eye on as far as the quarterbacks?
Yes,
it has to be.
It has to be just because of how good their roster is. And what I find fascinating about the Colts is because they've made so many moves, they don't have any first-round picks. You know, they gave up a lot to get Carson. And Chris Ballard has been lauded for how he's put this team together. That was a huge swing and a miss. So what kind of ammo do they have to go out and get somebody? That's my only question. But to me, I think this is a team that put a Marcus Mariota there. Like, if you're going to go, you know, put Jimmy Garoppolo there. Like, that. Like, this is a team that is strong enough where they can just put in a guy that maybe it's not Kirk Cousins, maybe it's somebody else, but they have enough pieces where you don't have to, you can get somebody that may be in the next tier and still be competitive. And you just need a guy that's not going to throw an interception in his own end zone with 1:20 on the clock in a tie game. That's all.
Well, according to some of the reports that are out there, Chris Ballard is a little uncomfortable with Jimmy Garoppolo's health situation because he's a guy that hasn't proven to be able to stay healthy for long stretches of time.
Yeah.
And he's tired of putting a Band-Aid on the quarterback position. He wants a guy that can be in place for the next decade or so. And it seems like there are very few options that necessarily check that box.
We'll see. Well, let me leave it there for the moment. I'll just remind everyone, they traded a number one for Carson Wentz and have now traded away Carson Wentz before they had a chance to use that pick. That's how badly things have gone. All right, very quickly, let me move on here. We got so much coming on this busy Friday morning. Now that Rodgers is back in the fold, who should the Packers surround him with? And do they have the ability to pay? We need answers, and we will get them. Plus, protecting Dak has been a primary concern for the Cowboys for years. We'll tell you why that might get a little tougher in the days to come. We're just getting started on a Friday morning. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Get Up is brought to you by Miller Lite, taste you can depend on, and by Horizon Forbidden West, rated T for teen. All right, Kimberly Martin, we're headed towards free agency week. Let's run the hurry up with some news and notes. What's up with Bobby Wagner?
Bobby Wagner. When you think of Seattle, you thought of Bobby Wagner and Russell Wilson. Well, guess what? If you need a defensive force, if you need a veteran leader, if you need a guy that can make plays, look at Bobby Wagner. He's expected to have a robust market. Teams like the Cardinals, the Rams, the 49ers, and guess what? The Cowboys, because Dan Quinn loves Bobby Wagner. So look for those teams to be all in on him. Now, speaking of the Cowboys, they might be interested in Wagner, but one guy they're having active trade conversations about is Lael Collins. Now, that's important because a big part of this Cowboys offseason needs to be figuring out this offensive line and protecting Dak and getting this run game going. When he is healthy, he's productive, but that's the issue, health. So they're gonna look to move on. Now, Landon Collins, another Collins. He's expected to be released by the Washington Commanders. Gosh, Commanders, got to get that right. Mm-hmm. So here's an issue. The Commanders, they're looking to clear cap space, and he's a guy that he's been this hybrid safety linebacker. They're looking to clear space. You know, he's going to move on, and, you know, hopefully a team picks him up because he's still a very good player.
Yeah, and that's a robust market is a word I like. Bobby Wagner, I mean, we had him compared to Ray Lewis sitting here yesterday with Bart Scott. So we got some potential difference makers out there when free agency officially begins at the start of the new league year, which is March 16th. That's next Wednesday at 4 o'clock Eastern time. The class will be headlined by some of those names and some others, J.C. Jackson and Chandler Jones and Brandon Scherff and some others. So teams are going to be breaking the bank, we would imagine, this offseason. So I've asked each member of our panel to pick a player, a free agent, that you would pay the most to acquire come next week. week in Kmart. I'm coming right back to you first. Who would you go out and get?
Okay, I would pay whatever I needed to get Teron Armstead from the Saints. I mean, talk about, I love the player as much as I love the person. I mean, he's a beast. You can't get offensive tackles just anywhere. And when you listen to Sean Payton in his retirement press conference talk about Teron Armstead and the leadership that he has, this is a guy, Bengals, I want you all in on this. Any team that needs O-line help, call this man.
Yeah, it's a terrific player. Chris Canty, give me the player you would go out and sign next week. Break the bank.
I'm going with a player at another premium position, cornerback, and that's J.C. Jackson from the New England Patriots. In the last couple of years, he's led the league in interceptions at 17. He's got the most pass breakups during that span, and he's allowed a 51.5 passer rating into his coverage. So pretty damn good at cornerback. He's going to get a bag from somebody. Hopefully my Baltimore Ravens are in on it. They could use some help at the cornerback spot.
Yeah, they had all kinds of issues and injuries there last year. D. Wood, give me a free agent you would break the bank to go out and get.
Man, just running back what Candy just said, J.C. Jackson. I mean, you talk about premier position, cornerback. Man, dude is about to get broke off. We saw how sticky he was up in New England. Now you got, listen, Greeny, we got superstar young quarterbacks on rookie deals. You know what that means? Load up. All those teams, the Chargers, you know, the Bengals, just load up on players because you got the young quarterback position figured out for the next few years. Just go out and just acquire talent.
All right, and I'm going to give a name. D. Wood will know. Can't deal. I mean, we'll all know, but may not be a household name in a lot of places. But I'm telling you, Braxton Berrios is a much better player than most people realize. He made the Pro Bowl this year as a return man. Mm-hmm. He's also a good receiver. And I'm telling you right now, if he winds up in New England, he will be the next Julian Edelman.
Book
that
it.
Is not an overstatement.
Book it. You heard it
Come
here.
Come on. D. Wood, am I right or am I wrong? He has Bill Belichick written all over him, and he will be the next Edelman.
Greeny,
the crazy thing was he was drafted by Bill. He was in New England first. Then he came to the Jets. So that would be like a homecoming if that happens.
Yes. It would also be like a dagger in my heart. What do you think, Candy? No, Braxton Berrios.
I love the idea because you said it. He's like Julian Edelman. He's like Wes Welker. And they try to control that in between the numbers space in the passing game, short and intermediate zones. That's Mac Jones' strength, his accuracy. So Braxton Berrios seems like he'd be a guy that's perfect for those option routes in that area.
That is a name that you should remember. He's going to make some money next week. Meanwhile, I feel almost awful showing this, but I feel like I have to. This is the Wild and the Red Wings last night. This is the goalie, Alex Nedeljkovic. Oh, he's trying to clear the
ball. Oh, no.
Look at the pain.
What is he doing? When a goalie is playing well, they say he's standing on his head. That is the exact opposite. I'm not sure exactly what he's doing in that situation.
He wanted the ice to swallow him up right there.
Yeah, I don't know what part of the game is that.
It's tragic.
It's tragic. That's what it is. It's tragic.
D-Wood, your thoughts.
Bro, what am I watching? What just happened?
He did the opposite of what he's supposed to do.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he can figure out how to drive the Zamboni because he sure can't play goal right now.
That's just so awful. He's trying to clear the puck, and I feel bad showing it, but not that bad. Okay, as we continue, it was a statement win with a capital S. Why the Brooklyn performance last night should make the rest of the Eastern Conference very nervous. Plus, Aaron Rodgers back, but still needs pieces around him. Who should be on his wish list, and can his team afford them? Those are the questions. We've got the answers. It's a Football Friday. Get up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL. At 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right, here's the most important thing we're going to tell you today. The Red Cross is providing humanitarian relief in response to the crisis in Ukraine. And if you would like to help, please support and donate by visiting redcross.org/ESPN.
Meanwhile, we began the show today with the Nets and the Sixers in Philly. And in case you didn't see it, Monica McNutt, we run through some of the big moments in what was a one-sided affair. Ben Simmons was supposed to be the headline, but it was Brooklyn all night long.
Spoiler alert, KD was ready to play in this ballgame, but on both sides of the basketball. He was talking his talk. He was backing it up. He performed like a leader trying to push a team into series playoff contention. And this guy, James Harden, he didn't show up. 17% from the field, one of his lowest, his worst field goal percentage in a game since 2017. He was not ready for the moment at all, Greeny.
And look at KD just flying through everybody. He came out with a purpose last night, as you said. He was doing it on both ends of the floor. Kyrie was doing it on both ends of the floor. And the second half was no contest.
It wasn't. And candidly, the Nets needed this win much more. And it showed. I think it showed not just from their stars in Kyrie and KD, but that was Bruce Brown there finishing and showing tremendous defense. Obviously, Steph Curry had a great ball game, so this meant more to the Nets, and they showed that.
And when they have KD and Kyrie at the same time, they're awesome. Now, it almost never happens, but with those two on the floor, they're averaging 123 points per 100 possessions, which would be by far the best mark in the league. And so I feel like I want to ask this question as we've got Zach Lowe in our studio this morning, and we will have Kendrick Perkins with us. Oh, we do! The big fella, Kendrick Perkins, has arrived in the studio as well. We'll explain in a moment what detained our friend. But Zach, because I was starting to ask you, I will. Did the Nets serve notice last night? We can say that they needed the game more than Philly. We all understand everything that has happened this year. But there was a part of me watching it that felt like they were serving notice that, forget everything else, they are the team to beat in the Eastern Conference. Did you see it that way?
Team to beat? No, not yet. The teams at the top of the East are too good and too well established, particularly Milwaukee, to give the Nets that off one game. But remember, before they traded for James Harden, there was this whole debate about KD, Kyrie, and depth. Do we actually need to trade for a third star? Is that team on its own good enough to win the championship? Well, now that's their team, except they have Ben Simmons in the James Harden slot. So, yeah, if I'm Miami at one and Milwaukee at two, yeah, I'm confident if I'm the Bucks, I'm the champions. I'm looking at that 7-8 battle. I'm like, I got to see how that comes out because I'm not psyched. I'm not psyched about playing Brooklyn in the first round. That's my reward for a great season.
I can't imagine a worse draw.
I
can't imagine a worse thing that could happen to a team that finishes the season with the best record in a conference and winds up with KD, Kyrie, and Ben Simmons coming into their building for game one.
Well, let me ask you this. What do you think of this idea? Number one seed gets to pick its opponent from the teams that come out of the play-in.
I've heard that suggested. I like that. Would anyone pick them? Maybe that's a better way to ask the question. Big Perk. Let me get you into the conversation here. Would they be the last team any of the big teams in the East want to face? Did the Nets serve notice last night? They're the team no one's going to want to play in the playoffs.
You know what, Greeny? I'm not going to overreact, but I will say this, that was the game that the Nets came together because of the Ben Simmons situation. I thought they were trying to find their identity, and I thought last night, because of what Ben Simmons was going through, it rallied them together. Now, let's not forget that the Brooklyn Nets just took a spanking to the Boston Celtics a few games ago, and Jason Tatum hung 56 on them. But I will say that Kyrie Irving took this game personal. And yes, I got pulled over by the police, and it reminds me of something. And this is what Kyrie Irving told James Harden last night. You have the right to remain silenced. Anything you say can and will be held against you in a court of law, because he had the handcuffs on him. And so out of everything that we witnessed last night, that was the thing that I noticed the most. So all those rumors and stories that we heard about about Kyrie and James Harden in practice with the Nets and Kyrie going at him, guess what? Kyrie showed us that last night, that those were facts and that was true. I have never seen Kyrie Irving play defense the way that he did last night, and it was beyond impressive.
I will point out that is the reason that Big Perk was delayed in getting to us this morning. He was pulled over this morning on his way to his studio. Mm-hmm. We're glad that you are ready to go here. So I'm going to be the one to overreact. If Zach's not willing to overreact and Perk is not willing to overreact, I'm willing to overreact. If Kyrie was able to play every game, and that, of course, is the enormous if. We understand, as things are currently structured, Monica, he can only play half the games, can only play the road games. If somehow between now and May that changes –
that, in my opinion, that team that I watched play last night, they're beating anybody in the Eastern Conference.
Greeny, I'm with you. I don't think it's an overreaction. And Perk, I know you got in trouble for speeding, so you're trying to go below the speed limit on your reaction to the Nets, but I'm going to get you up to speed, my brother. And that was legitimate. As much as I have been on record struggling with the situation around Kyrie, I must admit that I have evolved a little bit. His ability to insert into ball game, drop 50, may or may not be able to play the next game. We don't know. But the way he's able to show up, quite honestly, rested, engaged, willing to defend. As the primary defender last night, he held 76ers to 17% from the field. And you know he spent plenty of time on James Harden, per your point, Perk. So I don't think it's an overreaction.
That's a really interesting point. Perk, let me ask you as a player. If anyone who watched the game on TNT last night, you heard this debate between Charles on one side and Shaq and Kenny on the other side. Is it... Charles was trying to make the point that it's incredibly hard for Kyrie to miss a bunch of games, then drop into the lineup and play so well. And the other guys were sort of saying, yeah, but he's rested. He's got fresh legs in ways that everyone else does not. As a former player yourself, Big Perk, obviously played a very different position from what Kyrie does. But how do you see that? Is it a huge disadvantage, or when he's on the floor, is it actually an advantage?
It's an advantage. Look, Kyrie is just different, right? Kyrie is one of those guys that goes onto the basketball court with Similac on his breath and just get buckets. Like, he is just a pure hooper. You could drop him anywhere in America at any given time, and he's going to show up and be the best version of Kyrie Irving. That's just who he is. That's why he's one of the most elite to ever play the point guard position. But I will say this. They will not win a championship or win the Eastern Conference if Kyrie Irving is not full-time. I mean, the East is just too stacked. Now, I get it. They need him for the road games. But I will say, if they have him for the road games and home games, if the vaccine mandate having to go in his favor and he's available to play, look, the way that Kevin Durant embraces that point forward position, it will be a problem for everybody. But I'm not picking them to win the East yet. I'm not doing that. And Monica, you're not either. You're not either.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is. I'm getting her on my side. I'm brainwashing Monica McNutt. I've taken her, and I'm not giving her back. By the way, I want to make it clear, that graphic you just saw on your screen, those four games Kyrie can play, those are the only four games he can play the rest of the season, Zach Lowe, at least as it's currently constituted.
That's it. I feel like, I guess, to continue the driving puns, we got to pump the brakes a little bit. That's the whole schedule. That's it.
Right.
They're in the play-in tournament. They still have to get out of the play-in tournament. They might have to play Toronto in Toronto. Guess where he can't play? Toronto.
Right.
Guess whose name we haven't mentioned in this entire conversation? Ben Simmons.
Right.
I think they need Ben Simmons, too. He hasn't played yet.
But he can only be additive, right? I mean, Ben Simmons is not going to be a net negative. Well, he can only be, on some level, additive.
Absolutely. But is he going to be additive when there's 2 minutes left in the game and he's standing under the rim and he's got a shooter get fouled?
Come on, Zach. Like, to me, we're holding on to this moment like it's the only way this guy's going to move forward.
It's not just this moment.
First of all, he doesn't need the ball at all with 2 minutes to go. Give the ball to Kevin Durant and move out the way, Ben Simmons. Like, you have Kevin Durant. This is not the same situation. And I don't think that's an apples to apples comparison.
See, the point that she's making, she's so right, Big Perk, and that is...
No,
that,
she's not.
Yeah, she,
no,
don't
she's
me.
Not.
Perk,
no,
we got to do this
right.
all
go
day.
Ahead,
no.
Start.
No, she's not right because, Greeny, look, Ben Simmons we haven't seen Ben Simmons play since June. And I understand we're talking about his role, but look, in order to get in basketball shape, again, I repeat, you have to play basketball. You can't just come on the court with taking 9 or 10 months off and say, oh, he's going to be at peak condition. Oh, his workload on his legs is going to be perfectly fine. We thought Ben Simmons was Ben supposed to be back. All of a sudden, his back is bothering him. We don't know what version of Ben Simmons we're going to get, so we can't just act like the last outing that we witnessed this man play wasn't a natural disaster. Like, we're not about to sit up here and do that.
Come on, let's just say what everyone is thinking. His back is going to wake up this morning feeling a lot better, okay? Let's not pretend that after we got through last night that his back isn't suddenly going to be a lot better. So whatever it is he brings them. See, the difference is that he was in Philadelphia where their other great player was also a liability at the free throw line. So they had to figure out something with Embiid, right? You don't want Joel Embiid taking big shots at the end of the game.
Yes, I do. He's an 80% free throw shooter.
No, but my point is he's not Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. serving, that can create his own shot, that can, whatever it is. He doesn't have to be an offensive option.
He wants to live in the same space as Ben Simmons. He wants to be in the paint like Ben Simmons. That's the difference.
My point is, Joel Embiid is one thing. He's a brilliant player, but he's not Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving in the way that they will create their own shot. Ben Simmons could be watching from the other end of the court.
Kind of greeny. We're on the same page on that. This is what I will also say. When we think back to Philly, and Perk, I think you could chime in. I think if we're going to go back to last year's series, I also question some of the coaching decisions just a little bit. And so when we talk about these two teams right now, to me, the depth around the Nets is what is going to separate them, even if Ben Simmons is only 60%. To me, we've forgotten that KD was already – he was having an MVP year, y'all, carrying these guys. Like, and all these role players have gotten better, plus Drummond and Curry. Those are better guys than what he had when he was on the floor before he got hurt.
You know what's crazy? I'm glad you brought up coaching, because Doc Rivers was wrong last season, and he actually would have won if he would have had Tyrese Maxey in the game instead of Ben Simmons. I'm glad you brought that point up.
Okay,
let me leave it here for the moment. We went far longer with that than we meant to. We'll get back to some of the football as we go, but I think it was worth having that discussion. All right, Big Perk, we will have much more from you as we continue. I'll also mention we got the SEC conference coming today. The tournament is at noon. Bruce Pearl and his fourth-ranked Tigers facing Texas A&M. That's followed by LSU and Arkansas. Great action, college hoops right here on ESPN. Meanwhile, back to football will go next. Now that Aaron Rodgers is staying in Green Bay, which player should be at the top of his wish list to make another run at the Super Bowl? That answer is next. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It has already been a wild offseason. Russ is a Bronco. Rodgers is back with the Pack. And all of that was just the appetizer. Next week, it's all about free agency. Which huge names will have new homes? Join Get Up every step of the way, beginning Monday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern on ESPN. Now, that should be fun. And we continue the football conversation here with Can He or Can't He with the big fella Chris Canty. Here we go. I got some questions. First, can Russell Wilson win a Super Bowl in Denver? Can he or can't he?
Green, he can, and Vegas agrees with me. Right now, the Denver Broncos have the fourth best odds to win the Super Bowl behind the Buffalo Bills, the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Green Bay Packers. Last year, 5 of the 10 losses that the Broncos suffered were one possession games. They're betting that Russell Wilson can be the difference in that outcome. With those weapons that he has on the offensive side of the ball, he absolutely can get it done in Denver.
I'm with that one. All right, let's go to a couple of other AFC teams. Can the Steelers or the Colts win if they don't make a big quarterback move?
No, neither one of them can. And with the Colts, it gets a little bit tricky because they don't have a first-round draft pick this year. But I don't think that's going to preclude them from being aggressive in the trade market for a quarterback, similar to what we saw from the Los Angeles Rams last year with trading future first-round draft picks. So the Colts seem like they're a team that's ready to go, top 10 offense, top 10 defense. They just got to get that quarterback situation figured out.
Now, one more. Speaking of quarterbacks, can Aaron Rodgers finally get his second ring?
Yeah, he can, Greeny. And listen, the NFC field is not as loaded as it was last year, even though I don't think the Packers team will be as good because of some of the issues that they're having with some of their big money guys. You're talking about competition being the Los Angeles Rams, the Dallas Cowboys, and that's about it at the top end of that conference. So I think Aaron Rodgers absolutely has an opportunity to do it. Third best odds to win the Super Bowl, so why not?
Well, that's the good question, right? Some people look at these things and ask, why not? Well, I will ask Kmart, why not? Because we still don't know the details on the contract, and that will have clearly some impact, whether it's positive or negative, on their ability to bring back some of their most important guys and maybe go out and go shopping as well.
Yeah, so here's the thing. We expect Aaron to get paid. The question is how much. He wants to get paid a lot. Now, will he go the anti-Brady route? and he'll take all the money and there's not much left over. You're seeing it on the screen. The Packers have a lot of guys to contend with. They've tagged Davante Adams. Obviously, he wants to get paid. He's a guy that wants an extension, wants to get paid $20 million, over $20 million, I'm told. But they also have a vertical threat, Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Because of cap issues, they're not going to be able to keep him. Roswell Douglas, like, he's somebody that they have to keep. They have a lot of issues. And if Aaron is taking up so much of the pie, that leaves a lot less for the other guys. And we've said it before, the Packers are a team that can win the Super Bowl, but who else is going to be on this roster?
It'll be interesting to see how much he gets and how it is structured. I would have to believe it's going to be structured in such a way that they can have some of this flexibility.
What else,
it doesn't make sense not
right,
to.
Right. What is the point of coming back, trying to win, but taking it all and saying, oh, well, sorry, guys.
So the question, D. Wood, is, and Chris Canty just said it, the conference is obviously weakened by the departure of Tom Brady in particular. All the power seems to be in the AFC. But are the Packers going to be as good next year as they were? Is this a team that's getting better or getting worse?
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to be as good as they were, you know, the past few seasons, because they got a lot of guys, particularly on the defensive side of the football, that they got to contend with. I mean, you're talking about, you know, the Smith brothers, Preston and Zadarius. Are they going to be able to keep those guys? You still got to pay, you know, Devondre Campbell, who had a Pro Bowl season last year with the Packers. And then, oh, by the way, Rasul Douglas had an awesome year, you know, at the cornerback spot. So a lot of decisions got to be made. Not everybody's going to be brought back. So I don't know if this team is going to be as good as it's been the past couple years, but with the conference being a little weaker, the Green Bay Packers will be right back in the mix again next year.
Greeny, I'll say this. Aaron Rodgers better make this work. The excuses are done now. I mean, the organization has acquiesced to everything that he's wanted over the last calendar year, and he chose Green Bay this time around as opposed to all the other opportunities that were out there. Pittsburgh, Denver, Indianapolis, you name it. The other teams that he could have been traded to, he said that this front office is good enough. I trust them. This roster is good enough. I trust them. This coaching staff is good enough. I trust them. Now it's up to Aaron Rodgers to deliver. All of those excuses that people were trying to make for why Aaron Rodgers couldn't have postseason success, they're all gone now. He's got to get it done.
I was just enjoying watching D. Wood's reaction to what you're saying.
He seems to be
Where's the lie, big fella? Where's the lie? Tell me the lies.
No lies told.
Hey, Candy, you were preaching that gospel because I've been saying for I don't know how long. Like, I don't want to hear any more about Aaron Rodgers. Like, right now, it's Super Bowl or bust from moving forward with Aaron Rodgers. I don't want to hear about this personnel decision, this coach. This is all on Aaron Rodgers. We've talked about levels. There's levels to legacy. He needs to get it done.
Let the church say amen.
That's really what it said. It's an amen from here, too. Okay, we'll leave that there for the moment. Much more football as we go. But, oh, by the way, baseball is back. Major League Baseball and their Players Association reached a new collective bargaining agreement on Thursday, ending a 99-day lockout. Players are required now to report to spring training by Sunday. Opening day of what will be a 162-game season is scheduled for April 7th. So all that talk about canceling games, that went by the wayside. And here is the man himself, Robert Stanberry, only the third. I told him on the radio he needed to get this thing settled in time, and he did. So well done, Buster. So for the fans who are waking up and didn't dive deeply into all of the issues in the negotiations, what is the most important thing those fans need to know today?
That, as you said, baseball is back, and it is going to launch into a crazy three-week period of transactions before we get to opening day. Greeny, there are nearly 300 players available in free agency and trades, and so day after day after day, you're going to see a ton of moves, an average of about 10 to 15 a day. It's like general managers have been sitting back scripting plays like NFL coaches, and they started to launch into that last night. So pay attention to your Twitter feed because there's a lot of baseball moves coming.
Yeah, and you'll be the one with all the stories, obviously. And that, I think, is the part of this baseball fans want to talk about. It's enough already with the collective bargaining. Let's talk about the player moves. Give me three moves, three players, three things that fans should be watching for in the coming days.
Everybody is wondering, will Freddie Freeman re-sign with the Atlanta Braves? He's the face of the franchise, but their negotiations reached an impasse. Will the Yankees step in and try to drop Freddie Freeman in between Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton? Will the Dodgers jump in? The Oakland Athletics are going to lead the trade market. They got a ton of great players available. Matt Olson, all-star first baseman, third baseman Matt Chapman. They're going to be moving a whole bunch of those guys. And the back end of the elite shortstop market, Carlos Correa and Trevor Story. Carlos Correa has drawn interest from teams like the Detroit Tigers. Houston Astros maybe are interested. Watch the Chicago Cubs with Correa. Trevor Story, if the Dodgers are looking for a long-term solution at that position, not knowing whether or not Trey Turner will stay, he would be an option for them.
All right, so a lot of interesting individuals there. How about the big picture here? Pardon me. What is a team that is expected to be the most active? Give me a team that should be out there with a checkbook wide open in the next week.
Yeah, Greeny, before the December 1st lockout, some of the big market teams didn't actually make big moves. Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers, because they weren't sure what the rules were. Now they are. The Yankees, with the CBT levels increased by $20 million, I think you'll see them be aggressive. Dodgers will resolve Clayton Kershaw, Kenley Jansen, maybe add a Freddie Freeman, and the Mets will continue to try to bolster their bullpen.
All right, baseball is back and Buster is ready. Thank you, big fella. We will see you as we continue. Meanwhile, basketball rolls on. We got a great night of ACC tournament action tonight on ESPN, beginning with Coach K and Duke taking on Miami. That's 7 Eastern. It's followed by Virginia Tech with its magic carpet ride through this tournament, squaring off against North Carolina. The action tonight on ESPN and the ESPN app. Meanwhile, coming up here, KD and the Nets showed up. James Harden did not. Why Brooklyn made a statement. And Sixers fans should be awfully nervous. We're talking about it next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.